Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear precious Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, he just got in, just now arrived into the studio. He's got mud and blood on his boots. His sword's broken again. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. It's Lieutenant General Bitter Ender is in here. He's been, if you look at our show notes, we tell all about it. He's been on a two-week campaign. Doing some serious, you're talking about some serious ass-kicking on some Jews and some Yankees. He just got back in here, and he's going to give us an after-action report. The only trouble is I don't know how we're going to bury all these damn Yankees. We don't have enough damn labor. But anyway, go ahead, Lieutenant General. I'm glad you're here, buddy.
Well, thank you, Eddie. Appreciate the introduction. And you know, there were parts of it in there were true. I was out for 2 weeks. I don't know about the rest of it, though. Now, we worked at a couple of these military shows in Middle Tennessee, Civil War show and a military collector show, 2 week consecutive weekends at different locations, and the whole point was to raise money for the Nathan Bedford Forest Home down at Chapel Hill, which is owned and maintained by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and we have to go outside our regular budget that the SCV National gives us to do any improvements down there. Our budget just barely, it doesn't completely pay for maintaining it, you know, electricity and gas for the mower and all that kind of stuff. So you have to have other projects going on, and we go to these Civil War shows, and we sell books, and we sell T-shirts and bumper stickers, and we usually make about $150 to $200 in just our glass donation jug. Well, we have a trifold showing the home there before and after the Sons of Confederate Veterans got it, and which was back in 1997, and the house is just about gone up until then. And we've had a lot of people working out there and made a lot of improvements on not only the house but the barn and some of the outbuildings and the grounds around there. So that's what we were doing. We weren't taking a vacation on you and hiding somewhere. So we were working the last 2 weekends.
Well, before we go forward, Bitter Ender, tell the people how – I know a lot of people would love to donate to help you out there, Bitter Ender. How's the best way they could donate?
Well, two or three ways. We have our own bank account in Chapel Hill. It's called a Forest Hall Construction, and that's mainly for building a visitor center. That's our next big project. And we wanted to get that built and then be able to have it open 5 or 6 days a week on a regular basis. Or if they wanted to just mail in something, they could mail it to Tennessee Division SCV, Post Office Box 10, Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, 38474, and just write on the check Forest Hall Construction or Forest Hall or something like that. And we can give that again toward the end of the program. It's Tennessee Division, Post Office Box 10, Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, and that's 38474. And that will go directly to this building project that we're working on. And that way we know we can keep account of what happens to the money when it's donated. The Forest Home.
Also, Bitter Ender, if the people didn't get that, or if you decide later on you'd like to donate, you can also send us a text message. You can send us an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and you can address it, attention, Gene Andrews, et cetera.
Okay.
Any way you want to do it. And we'll get that information out there.
We'll answer that. We'll get back to them on that. Sure. Be glad to give them an update on what all we're doing out there. So,
to help out, I have a few books left of the Southern Book of Quotes. If anyone would like to buy these books, if you want to buy this book, I will take the full price. People buy this. I already bought them, but we'll take the full price of these books and we'll send this money to Gene. With her.
Okay.
So, Gene, I forgot how much we're selling these for. I don't even remember.
Well, we sell them for $20. That's the first time. This is a really cool book. I'll give it a plug here on the air if you don't mind.
This is
by Mike Grissom. And Mike said in the introduction and the conversations we've had, if you go to Bartlett's famous quotations, it's all the Northeast, Longfellow, Thoreau, and then, of course, Lincoln.
Yes.
Only one or two quotes from Southerners in there. But this book is all Southerners. and it's set up in chronological order. It starts with the Constitutional Convention, Jefferson, what they said there, Washington, then comes on up through Davy Crockett, Andrew Jackson, and of course it's got a lot from the war period with Lee and Jackson and Davis and Forrest and Patrick Claiborne. That's got that great quote by Patrick Claiborne, what's going to happen to us if we lose this war? And then it comes on up to modern times. They've got quotes from Hank Williams and Elvis and Minnie Pearl. But then it's also got a listing alphabetically. So if you want to see or if you want to find a quote from Robert E. Lee, you look under there in the L's, and it's on page 137 through 145, quotes by Robert E. Lee or whoever you're looking up in there. And I enjoy the book, my copy. I like to just flip it open at night anywhere and just read some of the quotes that are there, some things people you've hardly ever heard of, and some famous people, and quotes that come from Mark Twain or somebody that you haven't heard before, or Will Rogers. And it's a cool book because you can do that, and you don't have to start at chapter one and read all the way through to the end to find out who did it, you know. So it's an interesting book, really is.
It's a great book. It's almost mystical if you read it because it takes us back to our blood and soul, so to speak. The best way I know, I mean, our Southern people, our Southern roots. There's something about it. I haven't read it all the way through, because I'm the world's worst reader. I've read it. It's really great, man. It would really be wonderful if we could help support this Forest Home up there and support Gene, because I tell you what, Gene works his butt off. That's no kidding. I would say Gene is Mr. Forest Home. But anyway, go ahead, Bitterender.
All right, sir. Well, I thought what we'd do tonight, I'd like to present to our listeners an article out of the current issue of the Barnes Review. And the subhead is A Journal of Politically Incorrect History. This is the November-December 2024 issue, and it's an article by John Ware. And it's called The True History of the Middle East Needs to Be Openly Taught. And it goes into discussing the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And he goes back to the very beginning of it in December 1947. He said there were 600,000 Jews and 1.3 million native Palestinians in Palestine in December of 1947. Jews own less than 7% of the land, and almost all the cultivated land was owned by Palestinians. Because of this demographic and geographical balance, the Palestinians regarded any plan that did not allow them to decide their future as being unacceptable and immoral. And then the United Nations decided to appease Jewish leader David Ben-Gurion by allowing unlimited immigration of Jews and granting 55% of Palestine's land to the new Jewish state. And the reason they did this, of course, was after World War II, was because the Jews had suffered these so-called horrible things in Europe. The Palestinians had nothing to do with that. They had nothing to do with what went on in Europe or Russia or around the Mediterranean, north of the northern edge of the Mediterranean, but yet they were punished and horribly treated and had their land taken away from them because of something they had nothing to do with. The Jews just said that's part of their homeland. 3 months before Arab armies entered Palestine in May of 1948, the Zionist military forces began to ethnically cleanse Palestinians from their houses, fields, and lands in the process. Zionist military forces added another 23% of Palestine's land to the 55% granted to them by the UN. The Israeli state comprised almost 80% of Palestine by January of 1950. So they just kept taking more and more away, and they took the best land they could get. And the Palestinians were forced out into the desert.
Yes.
The Zionist takeover of Palestine was aided by detailed files on every Palestinian village prepared by the main Zionist underground militia in Palestine. There were at least 33 massacres of Palestinian villages during Israel's War of Independence, and they have that in quotes right there. By the end of the war, over 750,000 Palestinians have been ruthlessly expelled from their homes.
Yes.
Israel was born of terror, war, and revolution, and its creation required a measure of fanaticism and cruelty. Entire cities and hundreds of villages were left empty and repopulated with new Jewish immigrants. The Palestinians lost everything that they had because destitute refugees, while the Jewish immigrants stole Palestinian property and confiscated everything they needed. They would go into a village and just clean out houses, take what they wanted. Any
yes.
vehicles they had, take that. Any animals they had, work animals, take that.
Yes.
We'll cover it a little more, what has gone on there, and then we'll start giving the comparisons of what happened to Southerners during and after the war. Pretty much the same thing.
Can't wait to get back to that. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go straight back to the bitter, and I'll tell you a great book if you want to get it. I think some of those quotes probably came out, but it's called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. That is a great book. But go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, we just wanted to try to give our listeners some information. Of course, we're hearing everything today about the Israelis and Hamas and raiding into Gaza and now into Syria and Lebanon and all these other countries. They just, anything that happens, they blame it on somebody else and go after them. But the people around Israel have a lot of reasons to be hateful of the Israelis because of what they've done. And we're talking about this article by John Weir, True History of the Middle East Needs to Be Openly Taught, which you can't do that in schools today.
No.
They shut that down. But he talks about how the country of Israel was created, and they just took about 55% of the land out of Palestine. And we were saying that, you know, because of what happened to the Jews in World War II, well, the Palestinians had nothing to do with it, and yet they suffer for it. And then we were talking about our segment today, it was talking about the Palestinian Confederates and what happened to the South during and after the war for our War of Independence. And go back to Lincoln's illegal war against the Confederate States of America. Number one, it wasn't a civil war. A civil war is defined in the dictionary as a war between two factions within one country. Well, that wasn't one country. The United States aggressively invaded a peaceful country. They just it was a foreign country that they invaded. And the second definition in the dictionary of a civil war, it's for the control of the government of that one country. Well, there was never an attempt by the South to take over the government in Washington and take over the government of the United States. The Southerners said, look, you elected Lincoln with only 39% of the vote. But you elected Lincoln. You got him. You keep him. We don't want to be a part of it. You got him up there. You can keep Washington, D.C. You can keep the northern states, and we'll just leave. It's like the old the new book that's come out, that National Divorce, and said a peaceful solution to irreconcilable differences. Well, that's what the Southerners were saying in 1860 and 1861. The country is so split and so fragmented. There's no way we can live together peacefully. So let the radicals and the liberals, Lincoln's basically communist government, because his government was loaded down with these, they called them socialists back then, but they were communists. And Karl Marx was a great admirer of Lincoln and wrote all of these that wrote Karl Marx and Frederick Engels that wrote the Communist Manifesto. Marx was a great admirer of Lincoln and wrote these glorifying and glowing editorials about Lincoln that was published in the New York World. And so, you know, I think that Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy had a book, Red Republicans and Lincoln's Marxists, about how many of these 48ers that came over to this country after the socialist revolutions in Europe in 1848 were Marxists. And they had a brutal, brutal way of doing things by force. Over and over again, Lincoln's armies waged wars against the civilian population in the South. They targeted civilian buildings. They would elevate their artillery and fire over the Confederate lines to hit civilians in Vicksburg, Jackson, Mississippi, Atlanta, Charleston, Richmond, Fredericksburg. It was a war against civilians. And you compare that to what the Israelis had done to the Palestinians, just moving in and taking over and murdering civilians. It's very, very similar. They stole food. The Yankees stole food from the Southerners, a lot more than what they needed to feed their army or forage for their horses. They just stole it. A lot of it, they threw it away just to make sure that the Southerners starved. They poisoned the wells. They would take manure out of the stables and dump it down people's wells, which poisoned it. So you get cholera from that. They even took salt and scattered it over the fields, which it would be years before that ground would ever be good for raising a crop again. My grandmother told me that their church in Middle Tennessee, the Yankees came through, and they poured molasses down the pipes and the pipe organs. Now, tell me what that does. Why was that done as a military operation? And not just in that church in Middle Tennessee, but all over the South, they would use churches as stables for the horses just to desecrate the house of the Lord. And they'd take the pews out and use them for feed troughs out in the yard next to the churches. Almighty. And then they'd use the buildings for stables for their horses. So what does this have to do with a military operation? And that's why the South absolutely hated the Republican Party. And not only was it because of what Lincoln did during the war, it was because of 12 years of so-called Reconstruction after the war, which is actually redestruction, going after the property that wasn't destroyed or stolen or looted during the war. And the war only lasted 4 years. And it was, if you look at maps of where the battlefields were, they were basically along railroad lines and rivers. But, you know, the 12 years after the war, it hit every single corner of the South because there were no Southern armies left to protect anybody. We surrendered thinking, foolishly enough, that we could trust the U.S. government to carry out the surrender documents that were signed by Lee in Virginia and Joe Johnston in North Carolina and Richard Taylor in Alabama, and then further out west in the Trans-Mississippi. And the ink wasn't dry on the paper until the Yankee government began to double-cross us on that. And that's why the Republican Party was so hated in the South for 100 years. I can remember as a little boy in the 1950s and 60s, the only election that counted in Tennessee was the Democratic primary, because nobody would run as a Republican. It was like having a curse put on you to be a Republican. We would out of our 9 representatives in Congress, we would sometimes have a Republican from East Tennessee. But no Republican could ever win an election in any other part of the state, middle or west Tennessee. It just didn't happen because that animosity and hatred that was hanging over the Republican Party from the war and what they did after the war. So that's the tie-in to a certain extent between what the Palestinians were going through and what the people in the South were going through as well. historian of the time said that Zionist takeover of Palestine was a clear-cut case of an ethnic cleansing operation regarded under international law today as a crime against humanity. And we go back to the South, and Sherman said the entire Southern population should be wiped out, their homes and cities destroyed, their lands plowed under, and the whole region repopulated with European immigrants. So, you know, these people are parallel to what one group was doing to another. Israel claimed that the majority of Palestinian refugees fled voluntarily, and that's in quotes, and were not expelled. However, Israel refused to allow Palestinians to return to their homes as demanded by a United Nations resolution shortly after the 1948 war. The State of Israel was thus clearly founded through ethnic cleansing of an indigenous inhabitant population. And, you know, now they're talking about how terrible, the liberals are always talking about how terrible this country is, but because we removed an indigenous population, the Indians or Native Americans, and took over their lands. Well, what's the difference in what the Israelis did to the Palestinians? Maybe we'll have a movie, Dances with Wolves or something, about what happened in Palestine, and Kevin Costner can play the role in that then. Israeli leaders established a racist nation set up exclusively for Jews. A Palestinian who was born within the boundaries of what is now Israel cannot return to his homeland and become a citizen of Israel. A Jew born outside of Israel can immigrate to Israel and be granted instant citizenship and numerous benefits. Israel has segregated housing areas, schools, and recreational facilities where Palestinians are not allowed. The legality of marriage between Jews and Palestinians is not recognized by Israeli law. The ethnic cleansing of Palestinians continued in June of 1967 with the Six-Day War. Israel conquered and occupied the West Bank from Jordan, the Gaza Strip from Egypt, and the Golan Heights from Syria. These territories are still occupied by Israel today. They weren't returned after the war was over. Approximately 300,000 Palestinians fled or were driven into exile as Israel conquered the West Bank and Gaza. Hundreds of villages were systematically razed, and over 2,000 Palestinian homes were demolished or sealed without charges or trial. The Israeli government confiscated fully 50% of the land and 80% of the water reserves in these territories. Approximately 100,000 Jews settled in the West Bank and Gaza to replace the many exiled Palestinians. Palestinian Gaza has been turned into a massive prison ghetto. Surrounded by electronic fences and military posts, tightly sealed from the outside world, Palestinians in Gaza are forced to live in extreme poverty. And this is exactly what happened to the South. The land was taken away. They passed what was known in the Yankee Congress, it was all Republicans. They wouldn't allow the Democrats in the South to vote or vote their people into office. That's why they passed the 14th Amendment. And, of course, you remember they tried to use this against Trump, that anybody guilty of an insurrection cannot hold office in a United States federal office. And they tried to throw that against Trump because of January 6th and the phony trials they threw against him. But they did that in the 14th Amendment. Okay. And we'll come back right after the break.
Your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hold on, our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain, Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
The House has passed a bill to expand the judiciary despite President Biden's veto threat.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill Thursday to add 66 new judges to understaff federal courts nationally, a bill that outgoing Democratic President Joe Biden has threatened to veto. The Republican-led House voted 236 to 173 in favor of legislation the Democratic-led Senate passed earlier this year that would result in the first major expansion of the federal judiciary since 1990. The bipartisan bill would increase the number of trial court judges in 25 federal district courts in 13 states, including California, Florida, and Texas, in six waves every 2 years through 2035. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
The Army says fighting between the Congolese Army and the M23 rebel group has intensified in eastern Congo in recent days, ahead of much-anticipated peace talks on Sunday. Congo's army accused the M23 of killing 12 civilians earlier this week. News and analysis at townhall.com. GOP Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas lays out a host of complaints about China's influence in the U.S. in a new book called Seven Things You Can't Say About China.
This is the whole point of the book. Are there certain things that almost anyone faces reprisal, threats, job loss, cancellation if they say about China?
Cotton spoke this week with the Salem Radio Network. Brazil's Supreme Court says federal police have arrested General Walter Braga Neto, a member of former President Bolsonaro's cabinet, in connection with an alleged coup plot. Braga Neto was formally accused by police in November, along with Bolsonaro and 35 other people, of a plan to keep the former leader in office after his defeat in the 2022 elections. Braga Neto was Bolsonaro's chief of staff from 2020 to 2021. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand.
We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips, anytime, anywhere. Join us at LibertyNewsRadio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We're halfway through, a little over halfway through the third hour, but bitter ender hour talking, and we'll kind of throw a little bit of different crinkle in here. I was telling the bitter ender, he said, you can't say anything against St. Lincoln the Pious. People just eyes will glass over. I said, the same way. And that's why I left the Baptist church. I tell people I'm a recovering Baptist, because I could tell them, I could take a book, you could take the Bible and show them their scriptures. I'm talking about scriptures that Jesus Christ taught when he looked at the Jews in John 8:44 and told them that they are their father, the devil, and they would do his will. Same thing. And you can show them the evil deed after evil deed that the Jews are doing in the Palestinians and what they and vice versa. And you point that out to them. And tell them that it's unchristian to worship Jews in Israel. I'm not going to stand by Israel. The Southern Baptists shouldn't stand by Israel. And their eyes just glass over. They cannot accept. They will argue about this Bible they have in their hand. You can say, let me see your Bible, please. Go to Romans, go to John 8:44, flip it open, show up to them. What about this right here? They will argue against their own scripture. But anyway, it's just a brainwashing. But anyway, a bitter ender. Go ahead. Back to you, brother.
No, that's the thing we were talking about during the break, that you tell these people that, and you show them the facts, and you read them the factual history. And it's the same thing if you bring up about how rotten and corrupt the U.S. government was with the illegal invasion of the South. And they say, well, the South fired on Fort Sumter, and that's why these other states left the Union. No, no, no. The six states that left the Union and joined the Confederacy did not join the Confederacy when Fort Sumter was fired on. They joined the Confederacy when Lincoln called for an army to invade the South and force these seven original states back into the United States at gunpoint. And that's why Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, and later Kentucky and Missouri passed ordinances of secession and left the Union. It was the call up of the army to invade states and force them at the point of a gun to join the United States. Now, what's all this nonsense about democracy and one man, one vote, and government of the people and by the people and for the people, as Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address, but not government of Southern people, by Southern people, and for Southern people? They're not going to let that happen at all. And then we were talking about the treatment of the South after the war and the 14th Amendment. We may have gotten cut off there. I'm sorry I didn't hear the music. I was talking too loud and overrode the music. You should have hollered play Free Bird right there. Got it going. But no, yes. The 14th Amendment, and you know, of course, they tried to use that against Trump. And there's a part of the 14th Amendment that says you cannot serve in the United States government if you were part of insurrection against the government. And they tried to say that Trump, you know, led the charge through the Capitol on January 6th, and therefore he wasn't a legal candidate for president. But it was put in there to keep Southern Democrats from being elected to Congress after the war, because the South was about, well, it was 98% to 100% Democrat, which was the conservative party back then. It wasn't the nutcase party like we have today. And so the radical Republican government that was in power in Washington and Congress, and they did not want to have any opposition to all of these post-war measures that they wanted to cram down the throat of the Southern people, just like what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians, of cramming all this down, taking their land away, putting them in ghettos, starving them to death. They didn't want any opposition to the programs they wanted to throw against the South. So they said, by passage of the 14th Amendment, if you took part in an insurrection, either as a government official or a military official, you could not serve in the United States government. And that's why they passed the 14th Amendment. and they talk about, oh, well, it made blacks citizens. Well, that was the cover story. But you need to go back and read all the 14th Amendment is really, really a long amendment. It covers a lot of different things. And being a citizen, a birthright citizenship to anybody born in the United States is just a very, very small part of it. And they yap about, oh, well, it made citizens of blacks who weren't citizens before the 14th Amendment. And neither were Indians, and women couldn't vote either. So, you know, there were a lot of people that weren't real first-class citizens back in the 1800s. So that's what we're trying to do, is draw the parallel between what the Israelis have done and are doing
yes.
to the Palestinians and what was done to the Southerners during and after the war. And all of the things that they passed during the so-called Reconstruction Act that they put on there, well, let me give you one example of something that happened. And the part of this is kind of funny. When they found out that Lincoln, the dictator, had been executed for war crimes, and I always say it's really an interesting twist to history. Lincoln was the only leader of a victorious country in a war that was executed for war crimes that I know
That's
of.
That's true.
That was one of the reasons Mr. Booth shot him, was because of the war crimes that were perpetrated against the South, and they just portrayed John Wilkes Booth as this kind of a nutcase and, you know, hatred and all that kind of stuff. But he had some very specific reasons. So after the news got out that Lincoln had died, ministers all across the South were ordered to have a memorial service to honor Lincoln, the executed dictator. And those who refused were sent to jail, and some of them were actually tortured. Now, the funny part about that was those who went along with it and had the memorial service for Lincoln, they started off the memorial service by playing and singing the doxology. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so that was their back in your face. Okay, we had your memorial service. We just started it off by singing the doxology. Southern land was confiscated after the war. The Yankee government passed what they call the Franchise Act. So Southerners could not vote after the Franchise Act. If you not only participated in the Confederate military or government, if you even aided the Confederate government. So a neighbor of yours, Eddie, that didn't like you, could say, well, I've seen old Eddie. He sold a bag of corn to Bedford Forest Cavalry when it came to town. Well, boom, Eddie Miller's off the voting rolls because you aided the Confederate government, which meant if you couldn't vote, you couldn't vote for sheriff. You couldn't vote for tax assessor. You couldn't vote for any local office. And so they could come by your house, and it's a log cabin. It's about 20 by 20, a little log cabin. Say, well, we're going to appraise that at about $3.5 million, and your property tax is going to be $300,000. Well, it didn't make any difference. It could make it $300 million. They didn't have the money to pay it. So much of the land in the South was confiscated and basically just stolen by crooked officials that came in and overappraised the land and cheated the people out of land that had been in their family for generations, probably all the way back to a Revolutionary War land grant that their ancestors had fought for the independence of this country. And now the government that they had fought for in Washington, the United States government, was coming back and stealing their land away from them. And so that's why so many Southerners had to go west and move west. They had nothing left in the South. And, you know, we've all heard about Los Confederados. The Brazilian government gave land to Southerners that would come down there and help them get cotton farming started. So there are about, I've read, anywhere from 700 to 800 Southerners and their families that packed up and moved out of the South and went to Brazil because they could at least make a living down there where they had nothing in the South. And large corporations came in and took over huge sections of the South, the Southern forest, owned by all these large corporations and forestry industries in the North. They took over the land, and the only way the Southerners could stay on the land was sharecropping. They had to work the land and got very little of the profit. They
yes.
got part of the crop when it was sold.
Yes.
And that was one thing that destroyed so much of the land in the South, because now Southerners are smart enough to leave a field or two vacant for a year and let it replenish itself. But when the land was owned by somebody in New York or Chicago or Boston or something like that, they didn't care about it. They wanted crops planted all the way up to the front porch, and they wore out the land because you can't plant the same crop year after year after year. Eventually, the soil goes sterile. And so much of the land in the South, even if it wasn't completely stolen, the Southerners were having to live there in these shacks and work the land and be sharecroppers. And a sharecropping is another way for imposed poverty on people.
Yes.
And once again, we're going back to what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians of moving them off their land, put them in these ghettos or these, you know, outdoor concentration camps where they're starving to death. And no wonder they hate the Israelis. And us, too, because we're lapdogs for the Israelis.
You know, before we go to the show, before we come back to the break, I'm the proud grandson of a sharecropper in Arkansas, Gene, and very proud of that. But folks, we'll be right back to our last segment of the last hour. Be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we are giving some, man, this is one of the, every time the bitter ender comes in, we have the greatest history lessons you could ever want. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and go right back, but I'd like to just say one more thing. I'm really proud of being the grandson of an Arkansas sharecropper. I mean, you're talking about struggling. This just an aside, but I didn't know they were poor. I didn't know we were poor. We always had plenty to eat because my grandfather had the garden he had would be like a field nowadays, and they killed their own hogs. They had their own milk cow, but money. Oh, the hotel was money. You didn't have shoes in the summertime. We didn't have shoes. I mean, it's just. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade that for the world, and I wouldn't trade living in a war zone in South Memphis in the war for the war anything in the world, because that's when I learned. Real racial relations. In fact, I got my postdoctorate PhD in race relations and survival at the Institute of Race Relations at the University of South Memphis. But anyway, back over to the bitter ender right now. Go ahead, bitter ender.
All right. We're talking about what the Israelis have done to the Palestinians. And this is that article by John Ware in the current issue of the Barnes Review. And said tens of thousands of Palestinians have also been tortured in Israeli jails. A Jewish human rights group in Israel confirmed that a 60-page report that 85% of Palestinian prisoners undergo torture while in custody. Many thousands of these prisoners have died while in Israeli custody. And they compare, some people compare the apartheid regime in South Africa to Israel and the separation. The South African apartheid regime never engaged in the sort of repression Israel is inflicting on the Palestinians. For all the evils of apartheid, the government never sent tanks into black towns. It never used gunships, bombers, or missiles against the black towns. The apartheid regime used to impose sieges on black towns, but these were lifted within a few days. They have a report, a resolution based on a report from a Swedish Assembly member, Eva Lena Jansson, and she said that cases of deliberate fatal shooting of individuals who pose no imminent threat to life amounts to appalling pattern of apparently systematic unlawful killings. It is estimated that over 12,600 houses were totally destroyed in Gaza and 6,400 severely damaged. 17,600 families, or about 100,000 people, have been displaced. And Israel has now violated more UN resolutions than any other country in the world. Nevertheless, any UN proposal to remove international complicity in Israel's transgressions has been systematically opposed by the U.S. The good old United States, the lapdog of Israel, has been opposed by the U.S. through its veto in the UN Security Council. So once again, we give them cover for pretty much anything they want to do. And that's why terrorists hate the United States, that we are just a lapdog for Israel. And all the things that are done, the people that are killed by gunfire, it's U.S. bullets and U.S. machine guns that are mowing down these people in the Middle East. It's American airplanes that are flying over and dropping napalm or bombs on them. It's United States artillery that are lobbing shells into them, or U.S. drones that are going after people in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan, and killing these people that are supposedly members of a terrorist group. And yes, the person they kill may or may not be head of a terrorist group, but they kill half a dozen civilians around them as well that had nothing to do with being a terrorist. So it's not hard for me as a Southerner to understand how Hamas, Hezbollah, all of these groups that fight against Israel and the United States hate us so much, because of the duplicity and the hypocrisy that we foster and that we promote and that we condone and that we support in this country by sending arms and material to Israel to attack all of their neighbors. And of course, there are people going to fight back against them. If Hamas had an aircraft carrier out in the eastern Mediterranean, they could launch airstrikes against Israel.
Yes.
They don't have an aircraft carrier. They don't have M1 battle tanks. They don't have cruise missiles. So what do they have? They blow up things. They have snipers. They have, people that blow themselves up in a square in a village in Israel. They fight back with whatever weapons they have because of what's been done to them. And so, you know, how can we stand by and innocently say, oh, well, we're going to fight terrorism? You know, we're going after these terrorists. Well, who caused these people to be terrorists? That's my question. Why was Israel taken so much, given so much land out of a country, Palestine, in 1948 that had done nothing to the Jews in Europe? And then anytime they want more land, more Jews come to Israel. They just move into Palestine or Jordan or Lebanon or wherever they want to go and take their land away from them.
And where'd they get the land?
They
the hell can the UN give them sons of bitches land? I mean, it wasn't the UN's land to give away, but it's the same thing. You know, but they were insurgents, just like the Confederate soldiers were insurgents. If you fight back, you raise one finger to fight back, you're insurgent. I'm sorry to interrupt, Gene, but
you're absolutely right. You know, and the Southerners have been demonized as evil, and they were trying to destroy the United States and this wonderful government, and they play, of course, then they turn off the music in the background, and we hear the battle hymn of the Repugnant being played in the background there.
Yes.
And see the pagan temple on the mall in D.C. with Lincoln sitting on his big chair like some Roman god, the god Bull Crappus Maximus, the Roman god of lies and misinformation. And you know, they throw all this propaganda in our face, and they do the same thing about the Palestinians. They portray them as these evil terrorists, and they're fighting for their land that was stolen from them, and their people are murdered, and their homes destroyed, and these bulldozers come in and knock the house down right over their head, literally knock the house down right over their head, and they're lucky if they can scramble out the back door, and if they don't, then they're just buried in all the rubble and pushed off in a hole somewhere. And too bad, them and the kids.
Yeah.
So, and then we're complacent in that, providing the ammunition, the weapons, and things to do that. And then, like that article pointed out, when Israel is condemned more than any other country in the world in resolutions by the United Nations, every one of those are vetoed by the United States in the Security Council, because the Security Council has to pass on a resolution. And if one country in the Security Council votes against it, the resolution doesn't pass. And so that's why we do it. So why would the United States do that if it's so obvious? Because Benjamin Netanyahu has gotten up in front of the Knesset, their parliament, and publicly stated, do not concern yourself with the United States Congress. We own the U.S. Congress. And who pays for the elections for the people running for the House of Representatives or for the Senate? It's AIPAC, it's all of these Israeli groups in this country. They put up the money, and if you don't swear on your oath to defend Israel and support everything that Israel does, no matter how repulsive it is, how illegal it is, you don't get the money to run for Congress, and you don't get the money to run for Senate. And now money is the only way that you're going to get elected, because you have to have TV ads, you have to have spots on YouTube and all of the things like that, the internet, to get the word out about yourself. And if you don't have money, you're not going anywhere in this country. You could be the greatest senator, the greatest representative ever, and you cross the powers that be, and you're just out of it completely. Oh, that's like Davy Crockett. He crossed Andrew Jackson, and Davy Crockett, even though he was a scout and fought against the Creek Indians, he thought the Indian Removal Act was illegal. And he said, we got Cherokees that are living just like we are. They farm. They're not nomads. They've got slaves just like we have slaves in the South. Why do you want to take the land away from them? Well, because they discovered gold in Dahlonega, Georgia, in North Georgia, and they wanted to get the land.
Wow.
So Davy Crockett opposed Andrew Jackson, and Andrew Jackson used the power of the presidency and all his connections to defeat Davy Crockett when he ran for re-election to Congress. And so that's where Crockett came up with that famous quote, you can go to hell, I'm going to Texas. So he left Tennessee and headed out to Texas. Figured maybe just start over again out there. Little did he know what was going to happen to him on March 6, 1836. But
he jumped out of the pot into the fire.
Well, he did jump into one there. So, you know, you can look at this country, you can look at Israel and all the corruption and the evil that they've brought down on local people. And that's why when I read this article in Barnes Review, I said, there are a lot of parallels there between what the Palestinians have gone through and what the Southerners went through. So hopefully our listeners will get some facts to refute a lot of the lies that we had put on us.
I tell you what, Gene, I'll make this in. I think the United States right now, I believe, is under judgment from God, because what we have done, what we've allowed these stinking Jews, aka Israel, to do to the rest of the world, And it wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if we got wiped out in a nuclear war because of it. Anyway, that's my opinion. I don't think you can be in the Baptist church and worship Israel, worship Jews. I think you're going straight to hell. That's my opinion. Anyway, thank you, Ben Ritter, for coming in. So thank you so much. Thank you, Miss Lizzie, for running a perfect board here. Thank you, Blood Group Radio audience, family. Good night, everybody.